Hello, welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 120. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
I'm Zelda Queen.
And, didn't play a lot of games this week. It wasn't anything new.
Is there anything new that's come out?
Well, that, yeah.
Not really. Not that I'm real aware of. I know Super Mario Bros. 2 for the 3DS is supposed to come out soon. Basically, I think they transposed Mario and Wario's characteristics, since the entire part about this new thing is getting as much treasure as possible, I think. Or they have a big emphasis on gold in the new Mario game, which seems more like of a Wario characteristic than a Mario characteristic.
So, I'm confused now. You said Super Mario 2, like, old
Super Mario Land 2.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see, that helps. I was like,
one where you get rabbit ears.
Sorry.
That make you fly.
Hey!
Help, they already have Super Mario Land 2.
Yeah, because it's for the original Game Boy.
I lost my copy, I don't know where, how, like...
I still have
a month after I got it and beat it or something. I was like, well, okay.
Did you not have an old brick?
I actually did not have an old brick.
Okay, that would explain it. Yeah, because Super Mario Land 2 for the original Game Boy is where they first introduced Wario. He was the villain.
Maybe it's Super Mario 3D Land 2.
They're getting too much stuff in the title here.
Nope. Because I was going to say, that's really fast, considering Super Mario 3D just, like, come out within the past few months.
Let's see. I know it comes out here real soon. I just...
There it was!
It was a,
New Super Mario Brothers 2. That's what it is.
Okay,
so it's not...
It's the new Super Mario Brothers. Alright, so, like... A sequel to the DS version, which will never, ever, ever go down in price. It's the only bad thing about Nintendo games, the Mario's in the title half the time, they never go down in price.
Because they're always really good games. And yeah, it comes out on the 19th.
That's next week. I forget. They do their weird Sunday releases.
Darksiders 2 comes out on Tuesday, and yeah. Yeah, there's not been a whole lot to come out recently.
No, my gaming week was filled with Civ 5 and Dungeon Defenders, which I just bought when it was on sale last month.
So I hear you've been playing Civ 5 as an American F yeah game.
Yeah, it wasn't really intended that way, but that's kind of how it ended up. I hadn't played Civ 5 for a while, so I was like, I'm just going to use America. I know. Yeah, I played them a couple times before, so I knew how to use them pretty well, especially like... I'm trying to remember what their different abilities are, like Manifest Destiny, which just makes me laugh because of the name of it. But, you know, the like plus one viewing for military units, which is really useful a lot of the time. But, yeah, I was stuck on a continent with the... I'm trying to think how many it would have been. Two other civs?
Three other civs.
There had to have been another civ that was stuck on the continent with Napoleon then, because otherwise there's an odd number of civs, which doesn't make sense.
You can set an odd number.
I didn't purposely. I think I went with the default, which is usually an even number.
Well, Napoleon wiped out somebody, and you never knew it.
Yeah, I guess so. But basically, like, Napoleon pretty much gets his own continent. I'm stuck with, you know, three other people, and Hirawatha. Hey, I'm your buddy. I'm just going to put these troops here. Yeah, we're totally friends. Let's have a trade agreement. Da-da-da. There's more troops there. And oh, I'm invading! It's like... I spent the next, like, two centuries conquering him.
Bye-bye, Hiawatha. And Alexander was all buddy-buddy until you got too close, and then...
Too powerful, and now he's like, I'm really nervous about you. You've killed everyone else on this continent now.
And he only has, like, two cities, and... But it was like, well, Hiawatha stole a whole bunch of cities from him, too, because now you have, like, Argos, and... I forget what else.
I had Sparta at some point that I stole from Hiawatha. Who stole it from Alexander.
In your defense, Hiawatha betrayed you first.
He started it.
Yeah, but I felt like I was replaying, you know, like...
Trail of Tears?
Yeah, exactly.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dungeon Defenders instead.
Dungeon Defenders, yes!
Which is quite fun. I've not played very much, and I've only played by myself so far because I keep forgetting to give the... So I bought a 4-pack of passes, and I forgot to send them to my cohorts here.
I live in the same house.
Well, you
my
never.
Computer's next to yours.
You never seem very interested.
I don't have it. You gotta give it to me.
But yeah, I guess so far I found, like, I've just played a very little bit now with the, I can't remember his name, but the knight character, and I like him a lot better than the mage. I was getting kind of frustrated. I'm like, oh, it's so hard to take things down with this guy.
Maybe it's easier to do stuff with the mage when you have a knight to keep things away from you.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's one of those games where you really are meant to do multiplayer. It's kind of a little bit wasted trying to do single player.
They gave you a single player so it doesn't feel wasted when none of your friends are online, but they wanted it played with a group.
Yeah. Because I think you want the different, all the different classes kind of represented so that you have a more balanced defense. I mean, I guess this thing, you know, it's like you start off with only knowing, if you're level one guy, you only know how to make one kind of tower. So, not, you know, you kind of just spam that tower a lot, I guess. I've gotten up to three towers with the mage. So I've got a magic missile tower, a just magic barrier tower, and I got the fireball tower now, which is really nice. The fireball doesn't cost very much more than the magic missile, but it's a lot more damage and it does area effect, so.
Nice.
Much more useful.
If the magic missile tower gets shattered in complete darkness, does it shoot itself?
I don't know, because there are torches everywhere.
Okay.
At least in the first dungeon, and then there's fire everywhere in the second dungeon.
Yes, lava is an environmental hazard. Do not jump into it.
I'll remember that one. Lava is bad.
I thought it was maybe just, you know, like, it. I don't know, I just kind of figured, you know, it probably had, like, an invisible wall around it, you know? It's like, okay, yeah, they won't let me go in the lava and jump.
Die.
Okay, yeah. Good thing it was just in the building phase and there's no actual monsters around. I was just like, oh, nobody saw that. Back to building stuff.
Hey, does that mean you can try and force the monsters into the lava?
It'd have been incredibly hard to because there's actually kind of a tall wall around it that I had to leap up on to go into the lava.
So you actually had to work to kill yourself.
A little bit, yeah. But, we gotta play it together and then give it a real review, I guess.
Actually experience it a bit more?
Yeah.
More than just yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, on a random note, OnLive was doing an indie Get Weekend giveaway. And they gave away copies of Xenoclash to anybody that entered the code INDIEFREEUS. It's this weekend only, so I'll have to share this or something on the Facebooks and Twitter so people actually see it. But basically, it's a free indie game on OnLive called Xenoclash. I'd never heard of it before, but it was free, so I have it now.
I don't know why it looks slightly familiar.
Because of all the games that came from Japan that started with the word Xeno.
Yeah, but these would spell it differently. It's that one, like Xenogears and Xenosaga and such. They're all with X's. This one's just an actual.
Man, oh. Honestly, obviously, we don't have a whole lot to talk about this week because we're already struggling and we're only 10 minutes into the podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about our new rating system that we're going to try and implement here starting probably with Darksiders 2 when its review comes out. Apparently, Irish Pride had started working on this idea back in 2010 and then had completely forgotten about it. So he brought it up recently, and it's called the Goal Rating System. And basically, it is games that are good, okay, awful, or just outright lousy. Now, we did have the conversation that an awful game should be worse than a lousy game, but then it spells Gola, and that doesn't seem as good as Goal. So, as of now, lousy is worse than awful. Does that work for everybody? Okay.
Man, your live site has 101,000 likes.
Yeah, it makes me feel sad.
That's a lot of likes.
How do you think that, like, World of Warcraft has on Facebook?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the percentage of people who like things on Facebook. I don't like liking things because then it plasters it up everywhere for everybody else to see half the time. I'm just like, really?
Let's see. Really? 4.4 million.
It's almost half of all users. About it.
Yeah?
Man, Mizzen Pandera comes out in like a month?
Month and a half, yes. Kind of came out of nowhere, huh?
We started hearing about it quite early this year,
I thought. Yeah, I just didn't realize it was coming out before, like way before Christmas or in January, you know, sort of thing. Because everything else has come out about November to January-ish.
They're getting two Blizzard releases this year then.
Diablo 3 and WoW expansion. This is not going to make me come back to WoW, though.
I'll wait till Xavier, what it was, Guardian Xavier 001, I think is his name on the site. I'm gonna wait till he tells me how it is before I even bother jumping in, because they've like, as far as I know, they've completely revamped everything. Not that I've really looked at it at all.
They seem to keep trying to do this. Everything is new again,
and again
thing.
Huh? Somebody actually went through the Blizzard Facebook page and dug it all the way back to Warcraft's Orcs and Humans released for MS-DOS.
Yes, that someone was probably a Blizzard employee who is employed solely for the purpose of doing social media for them.
It's interesting the fact that that's actually a job description now. Social media expert.
Yeah, there is a social media expert for the NPR program Fresh Air that I listen to. I mean, this is, you know, a nationally kind of syndicated show, but nonetheless, it's an NPR show!
Social media is very important to properly use. I don't use it properly, I don't think. That's my problem. Anywho, moving on. So, we're gonna, back to the entire thing that started all this. We're going to go ahead and start the goal rating system. If you're actually listening and you read any of our reviews, let us know what you think about how it works out. We'd appreciate your input so we can go ahead and refine the system to work for best for our listeners and readers. Hey, I think somebody important might be listening to our podcast, or it was entirely a coincidence. But after we did our podcast saying that they need to come out with an expansion for Quarriors, an expansion for Quarriers was announced.
So we did learn that there are already two other expansions, now there's three!
But it was an interesting timing on that.
Hooray!
So maybe somebody out there is listening.
Oh, I just all
no, it's all a coincidence. They've had to have had that expansion probably planned for a few months before they announced it.
Come on, let's boost our egos a little.
Oh yes, of course, we are the most important force in the DICE collecting gaming world.
Go us.
We have our little niche. It is ours.
Woohoo! Anywho, and yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll have much more to talk about next week, but right now I'm just coming up blanks. You guys got anything else?
One other thing I've been doing is playing Rust Tier on Steam, the item shop game. Oh man, I just lucked out there when I was playing. Okay, basically, apparently dear old dad decided to go...
Dear old died.
Yeah,
dear old sorry, that's a bit of a quote from Venture Brothers.
But, he racks, like, takes out this huge load, and then he just, like, disappears or dies. We don't know which. It's very vague. But, basically, his daughter gets stuck with the bill, and this fairy comes to collect. And she's like, we don't expect you to be able to pay all of it at once, so you just pay it off in little bits. And they won't tell you what the sum is, because apparently if you were told the entire sum, you would just die of shock, probably.
That's one heck of a lie.
I thought it was just you will run away and it will never find you again.
Yeah, I mean, basically that. So the first, you have to pay it off every week. So you have to be able to balance getting items for your shop to be able to sell, to be able to reach your payment things goals. Your first goal is only 10,000, which wasn't so bad. The next goal was 30,000. I could barely get up to 10,000, like, the day before it was due. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I keep going to the dungeon, and my poor guy keeps dying, because I can't seem to find him a better... Well, I seem to buy a better sword and stick it in my store, but he still wants to buy all the cheap stuff, and you want to smack him, because it's like, buying a good thing. But in any case, I'm like, what am I going to do? All of a sudden, food prices doubled. So, I had all this food. So, in one day, I made 58,000 gold because I sold all this food. And people were selling it to me. And I had to buy it for a little bit more than what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
But I was able to sell it for 230% above base cost.
Nice.
So it's like, yay, money! So I'm going to make my goal and actually have some money left over. My fear is, though, this is a 20,000 increase between 2 weeks. I think the next week's going to be 50,000. And I'm like, how am I going to do that unless I luck out with such and such being on sale and having a whole bunch of it? Like, I kind of lucked out with candy one time. It doubled, and so people were willing to pay outrageous prices for it. In fact, I have an easier time selling the outrageously priced stuff than the normal bartering.
Hmm.
it's not so bad. The only thing I hate is little girls.
Little girls?
They never want to pay full price for anything.
You know, no, they say you usually get away with about 30% markup on the base price.
Okay.
So, you know, I go up to out there, and I'm like, oh, that's too much. So you bring it down. Sometimes I'll go, like, 20% above markup, or 15% above markup. And then they're like, this is stupid and boring and leave. And I'm like, I'm not selling it to you at base cost. Yeah, they're annoying. I don't like selling to the little girls in the game. When I see, like, five of them in my store, when I open, I just cringe. Because I'm like, whoop, I'm not getting you money this round.
I'm sorry. Sounds like an interesting game, though.
Yeah, because, and there is dungeon exploring, because basically you hire an adventurer to go into the dungeon to get items, because you can get better items, and then you don't have to pay for them, and then resell them, and then you sell them in your store.
Cool.
And you can get better things. Because if you go to the stores, yeah, they give you a little bit of a discount, but not as much.
Not enough?
No, you don't, because they gotta make their money, too, because they're making their money by selling you items to sell in the store.
So basically, you're going to the wholesale shops, they're selling you something, and then you mark it up a bit?
Yeah, and there's the other girl that decides to open up, like, Walmart in town or whatever.
She doesn't open up Walmart. It just exists. It's like Big Bash or something. Yeah, it's like the Walmart equivalent in this world where Big Bash, everybody goes there for all their adventuring and store needs, and Russeteer is going to end up getting stopped. So far, I'm doing okay.
I'm sorry.
Character has to have a rival, like yeah. Pokemon.
She has a fairy, too, so it's like, you have a fairy, and however you want to say your name, she is as dense as a brick sometimes.
The fairy or your character?
Your character. She's very good-natured and such, but man, oh man, sometimes you wonder if there's anything between her ears.
It's like, did you really just say that? Say what? Oh my god. Anywho, but it sounds like a fun game.
Yeah, usually when it pops up on the Steam sales, usually, and you can get it for, like, $5 or less. So I think it's worth picking it up just because it's a different perspective. You are the item shop owner. You are selling the items to people. It'd be really fun if it was more like what it is in like Final Fantasy. People come in and you have random bits of gossip to tell them.
All of a sudden you become a quest giver.
Yeah. Now I just started thinking about, you know, the item shop people in Legend of Zelda. There's somebody, I should see if I can't find it on DeviantArt, who did this. It was for their animation final. They did The Legend of Zelda, and it was basically Link going into the item shop and needed a heart, because he had one heart missing from his, you know, heart bar. So he goes there. Well, of course, Link doesn't speak, ever. So the item shop owner's like, welcome to, you know, the Kikori Forest, you know, village item shop. What can I get you? And Link's just all like, yeah! You know, pointing at the heart, and he's like, wow, you have a really thick accent there. I can't understand what you're saying. So it's all of, like, you know, Link's like, sword and rolling sounds that he makes. And it was very humorous, especially what ends up happening in the end. He gets a heart.
Did he just cut it out from the innkeeper?
Shopkeeper? Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. And yeah, it's a heart.
That reminds me, actually, in the, if you haven't watched it yet, the Fistful of Rubies, Legend of Zelda Spaghetti Western that was done on YouTube. Same thing. Link never actually says anything throughout the entire three videos.
Is it live action or animated?
Live action.
Okay. I haven't looked at it yet. But you could get away with that, because if it's like based off of like Clint Eastwood's A Man with No Name, he doesn't speak a lot in those either. He only speaks when he needs to.
Yeah, Link doesn't speak even then.
It's like, well, voice would you put with him? That's always the argument. It's like, if you make him speak, you totally sort of destroy sort of the imagination going on for, you know, the viewer.
You destroy the illusion of what Link is. The fact that in Skyward Sword you even had conversation options kind of changed things up a little bit.
Yeah, before conversation options limited to, I understand this, I do not understand this.
Like, and it'll explain to you again what you need to do. Do you understand this? Yes or no?
It's funny because they never, like, clarify more. They just repeat the same text again. You're like, I didn't really understand, but repeating it didn't really help, guys.
I think we should probably call it there then, because I don't really have much else to talk about, you guys.
Nope.
All not really.
All right, then. Well, you can go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com, where you can find our articles, our shop, Facebook page link, and Twitter feed, which Irish Pride now has unfeathered access to.
Oh, dear.
If you have any questions, comments, or anything else, you can go ahead and send those to mail@thegameslave.com. In the meantime, you guys have a great week gaming, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!